Hey, this is Craig, Marketing Director at Event Festa. I wanted to share this event promotion report that we put together. We dug into the data from the 22,000 events that we've promoted through our platform to see which things we could learn about which events performed better on the calendars as far as like click-throughs go, what kind of tags were performing well. We also interviewed over 100 event promoters that range all over the industry, from performing arts centers the whole way down to touring musicians or local musicians that are just putting on their own shows. We filtered those out and found the ones that we thought had the most interest and kind of crossover, so that we could see what kind of trends were coming up as far as what things people want to promote more of into 2023, which ways people want to promote less, which things they don't think are working. And we'll dive into all that in this video. You can also check out the report at info.eventvesta.com. Wherever you are, you should be able to find our link in the bio or down below. If there's anything that I'm going through this and you're like, I wish he would have answered this, I wish there was an answer to this question, feel free to drop that in the comments and I'll see if there's anything in the data that I can dig into and find an answer for you. So let's dive into this. We analyzed over 22,000 events. Like I said, we've had a bunch of events. We actually filtered out a large portion of those events that were free events through the platform or didn't get very good results. We basically looked for events that got 10 clicks or more, which these are like really high intent clicks that are coming from the promotions calendar, the community calendars on your local radio station and TV station. Some towns just have like these community calendars that if you search events in Cincinnati, those are the calendars that come up. That's where we post events to, and we get to track kind of what the click-through is from those. So you can imagine the people that are on there are people that are very intently probably going to buy. So 10 clicks or above is kind of the threshold that we were looking at. And I think that brought us to something like 12,000 total events. So that's a pretty good portion. And then out of the event promotion professionals that we interviewed, we did a survey. We took 36 of those that we felt were kind of the most fitting professional event organizers of one way or another, so that we could kind of analyze what those results look like to them. The reason that we were doing this report is because there are some reports out there from companies like Ticketmaster and Live Nation, but those are really looking at like Post Malone and Paramore and like really big concerts. And we really wanted to look at what that small to medium sized event promoter is doing and going through, and some things that you can take away and apply to your own events. So first, or what types of businesses are hosting events? There is a huge range of events in this data set, from performing arts centers, concert tours, comedy clubs, live music venues, makers markets are really big, nightlife, festivals. There's really all kinds of things, the whole way down to like craft workshops, bar crawls, unique experiences. So people that are doing the stuff that you might see on Airbnb, or really just crafting really creative and unique types of events. There's a lot of drag brunches or drag shows, fitness events, and kind of wellness and healing arts events also perform pretty well. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, whether if you're hosting events and you're kind of hosting the same type of event over and over again, I think there's a lot of opportunity out there. You can go to eventvesta.com and search through some of the events on there and get some ideas about, you know, new things to try. In the industry, we say people vote with their feet. So try stuff and see what works. And if people show up, keep doing it. And if people don't show up, no big deal. Try something else. What kind of categories did these fall into? So this is specifically looking at the people that we surveyed. 47% of those people were broadly in entertainment. So those are like comedy clubs, musicians, performing arts, that kind of thing. 14%, about 15% was split between wellness and fitness and the food festivals and tours. So food festivals, food and tours is like pretty broad category, but that's a lot of like, you know, hot dog festivals or like Polish food festivals, Greek festivals, that kind of thing. Wellness and fitness is pretty broad as well. That could be like a bike run or like a fundraiser run, but it also can be like a fitness class, or there's a lot of like unique ways that people are applying kind of a theme to a fitness thing to make it a little more fun. And then there's also a lot of stuff with like yoga, meditation, sound bowls, sound healings, all kinds of Reiki, that kind of stuff that also kind of fits into that category. And then the smallest categories, but still pretty big categories, are business and education. So those are people that are teaching classes of some sort, not art classes, because those actually fit into the other category. But there's all kinds of things that people might teach classes on, like technology or business or marketing, that kind of thing. And then business broadly is also talking about networking. There's a pretty big segment of people marketing networking events and conferences, which conferences don't take up a huge piece because they happen like once a year. So they're one event rather than like a live music show that might happen four or five times a week at a local bar or music venue. Museum, arts and crafts, that kind of embodies a lot of the stuff that you can think of, like art galleries, museums, visitor, like historical sites and that kind of thing are doing a lot of cool events. There was a really cool Polar Express exhibit at a railroad museum in Colorado that was part of our calendar last year. So there's a lot of cool stuff in that category as well. So what kind of job titles are responsible for promoting? So I think this is an interesting thing that I kind of knew myself from filling this role in previous jobs, but everyone that comes into this space is kind of like, who is responsible for promoting this show? And the answer is a little bit of everybody, but ultimately it's just like all marketing. It kind of rises to the top. Most of the people responding to our survey identified as the owner of the business, either saying owner or founder, president, executive director. Those by far had the highest percentage, but also people that are music artists, I would consider those owners as well of their own business. Independent organizers are kind of their own thing too. Producers, those kind of all fit under that owner. And then a very small portion of the survey respondents fell under the category of like office manager, communications manager, specialist, coordinator, social media manager. Those are the kind of job titles that you might expect to see managing the promotions and responding to this survey. So what types of events were performing best in 2022 and going into 2023? More than ever, people are getting creative. I think that the wave of in-person events after COVID has really allowed people to get creative and try new things. And like we always say, people were able to vote with their feet and they're showing up in force to new interesting experiences. The top 10 most popular events that we had through our platform, through that big data set, was two big comedy shows. They were kind of like comedy festivals, like an all-night thing that had multiple comedians performing, or maybe at a weekend show. There was a big Halloween-themed music festival, kind of a carnival party, a big dance party. There was the unique movie-themed winter experience was that Polar Express one I was talking about. You actually see this a lot with people licensing different shows and things like that and creating exhibits or experiences based on that. A way that you could try that without having to like do a licensing deal with Netflix is find stuff that's in the public domain, like Frankenstein and all. I mean, if you just look up like stories that are in the public domain, you'd be surprised by how much is in that. And then you can and leverage maybe a popular idea that was based also off of that public domain. Just be careful if you're going to do that, not to like steal art elements and stuff from the current popular version, because that version is copyrighted while the public domain story is not. There was a citywide fall festival. So the fall festivals were pretty big. Those are kind of all around festivals that have a lot of different stuff. Two mac and cheese festivals in my hometown of Pittsburgh and in a couple other places were really popular. A duck race. If you don't know what duck races are, they're a pretty common fundraiser and people go crazy over those. There was a huge farmer's market. Farmer's markets are big. They're in force. I don't know if you've been to a farmer's market anytime soon, but they're just like a big festival with music and art. It's a fun time and usually happening any given weekend in your city. We had a mystery dinner show, which one of those dinner shows performed in the top 10 of events, but we had a whole bunch of them. If you look up mystery dinner show in your city, you should be able to find one. So one of the interesting things that we were able to see with our data is everybody that puts an event in Event Vesta tags their event basically with as many tags as they want that are relevant to their event. So we looked at sorting by all of those events, the top 10% of events as far as click-throughs go, so people clicking and going to the ticket page, what were the keywords that were being used the most? Wine and spirits, alcohol basically, obviously is kind of at the top. So that just goes to show people are definitely going out to socialize and to drink. Interestingly, four adults and date night was consistently higher than kid-friendly and family-friendly, so used more often. When I looked a little bit more into the data, there were just more people hosting those types of events. And actually, kid-friendly and family-friendly events, which I'll get to later here, performed better overall per event than the adult events. So more events being hosted for adults and date nights and those sorts of things. But there may be an opportunity to do more kid and family friendly things. We actually saw a couple really big events that used to be adult events add kind of a kid-friendly aspect to it or a family-friendly aspect to it and get additional reach that way this year. No surprise, beer, wine, spirits, nightlife, socializing, those things rank really high. So basically people are adults are looking to go out and have fun. Interestingly, live music had more tags than comedy and theater. However, comedy events performed the best out of all of those in a per event aspect. So there may be opportunity there in the comedy space to host more events and still have some unmet demand. So then we looked at the average ticket price, and we had kind of two sources of data here where we had EventVesta's data, and we could see kind of what people were putting in as their lowest tickets price. So this was only, if they had a range of ticket prices, this was only looking at their lowest. And then there was also the self-reported ticket prices. So when we were looking at the self-reported, which is this event promoters with part, promoters that basically we were considering pro promoters, so people or organizations that were making $64,000 or more a year on average were ticketing $28, and that lower, basically just lower revenue. Some of those were free events or just not as focused on the revenue. We're actually charging $39 on average. I think the reason that this is the case is because those bigger venues that are making a lot more in ticket sales actually just have much larger capacity venues than those smaller ones. So it's easier to make, you know, $5,000 from a 500 capacity venue charging lower ticket prices than if your capacity is maybe 50 or 25. And then from our data, interestingly, the average ticket price came out to around $24.23. So still kind of in that $20 to $30 range. The highest ticket price in the top 10% of events was $175. We had a huge range of ticket prices, some things the whole way up to $10,000. For like training camps and those sort of things. And obviously there were plenty of events that were free. But it seems like if you're trying to find a good starting point to figure out what your ticket prices is, somewhere in that $24 range, it would be a good place to start. So this is actually my favorite part of the report, was this day of the week analysis. Obviously, Saturday came out ahead with almost three times as many events as most of the rest of the week. Sundays and Thursdays are about equally popular. Sundays perform a little bit better than Thursdays and Fridays on a per event basis, and Thursdays still perform better than the beginning of the week. Monday and Wednesdays are the worst, and Tuesdays are the best. That's a lot of data I'm just kind of throwing out at you, but overall, I have this kind of ranked here as far as like the best days to host an event, as far as the number of attendees per event, would be Saturday, which even though there's more events being hosted on Saturday, that seems to be when most people are looking for things to do. Then Sunday, surprisingly higher than Friday, and then Thursday, Tuesday, and Monday and Wednesday were tied for the worst. Now, maybe that means there's opportunities to host on those days and do something really interesting on the days that people aren't going out for events, or maybe that just means those are days that people are much less likely to go out. Another thing that's really interesting is to look at the difference between adult events and family-friendly events. You can see in these graphs here, I broke these out by events on day of the week. Obviously, there's a lot more adult events like I already talked about. And then if you look at the second graph there, the kid events or the family-friendly events outperformed per event over the adult events, which may just be because there's a lot of mediocre events that are being hosted for adults and people are being a little more thoughtful about the kid events, or it's just that, you know, there's maybe an unmet amount of demand for family-friendly events. If we look at the days of the weeks and how they perform, Thursday, surprisingly, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are the strongest performing days for family-friendly events. So kind of the takeaway here could be that, you know, Friday, Saturday is kind of the adult events, and then there's an opportunity maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, and Sunday to host some family-friendly events to fill out that event calendar. Now, if we look at events hosted throughout the year, I have every event plotted here and then also an average over the weeks. The weeks is obviously a little easier to look at kind of the range. There is a huge, huge drop off that happens after Halloween. Halloween's a pretty big peak. And then a lot of the events that are happening right after Halloween are recurring events that actually started maybe a couple days before. But then it pretty much immediately picks back up with holiday events. There are a lot of holiday events and things to do in the holidays, but it seems that there are bigger events, but less of them. So there might be light up nights or big like town-wide markets and that kind of thing. But in general, there's a lot less events being hosted through the end of the year, those events have equal kind of total reach because those events are usually a lot bigger. And then throughout the rest of the year, it's pretty average. Around April or so, things really pick up and there's a lot of things to do all year. There also seems to be a lull in the middle of summer, which again is probably because that's when a lot of those big festivals around the 4th of July and through that like late June, July, early August are happening. So those bigger events might be sucking a little bit of the air out of the amount of total events being hosted. Now, this is interesting for anybody that is spending money on promoting events. How much are other people using to promote their events? If we're looking at events promoters that are free, it was around $28. People that are making less than $60,000 a year in ticket sales were spending about $300 per event, and people that were spending making over $64,000 a year in ticket sales, so kind of the professionals, were spending on average $950 per event. Now, that $950 per event is a big range because some of the top promoters that are promoting a lot of events and big events were spending $3,500 to $5,700 per event. And a lot of those are hosting, you know, 5 to 25 to 30 events a month. So there's definitely a lot of spending that goes into promoting these events. And if you, once we get to the later sections of the report, you'll see that a lot of the channels that promoters think are doing really well are channels that cost money. That's not to say that you can't promote events for free. About 30% of the surveyed organizers said that they spend $0 promoting events. So they're just really scrappy and they're doing a lot through their free social media channels and word of mouth. When we asked the promotion channels used, we asked event organizers to say as many as they want. So if they use 7 of them, they can list all 7. If they use 1, they can list 1. Social media, which in the future I'll break out to different types of social media because that's a little broad, but that does not include paid. So organic social media, basically everybody uses it. Email marketing is still really strong for a lot of people. Online listings is what we do. So there may be a little bias in the response because these are not all, but a lot of them are customers of Vesta. But the reason we reached out to them is because they were already doing this and we just make it easier for them. And then online paid ads is like Google ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, TikTok, whatever. A lot more people are still using print than I expected. And people are still using traditional advertising. Partnerships and influencers is a really strong thing that has been growing in a lot of industries. So it'll be interesting to see year over year next year how that grows. If you want to get more event promotion ideas, we have a list of 117 event promotion ideas to help you attract more attendees. This is a giant list that you can scroll through. It's not meant for you to do every single one of those things, but the idea is to get the ideas flowing and come up with something creative. Now, in terms of total tickets sold, we split these out between pro organizers and like smaller, more DIY organizers. All of them use social media. The pro organizers leaned heavily on email. Email was their best platform as far as tickets sold, which that tells me that they're mostly selling tickets to people who have already bought tickets. And I think the reason that that is not a better channel for smaller organizers is because a lot of them don't take full advantage of that. They're not asking people when you come to the event to sign up. It's a free event. It's harder to track registrations. You can track that through something like Vesta, and there's lots of different places out there online that you can track free registrations, which gives you the email. You can ask for permission and then add them to your newsletter to tell them when future events are happening. Obviously, if people are buying events to a Hamilton show or something, that organizer is getting their email, and usually people are opting in because if they want to go to an event, they're going to go to other events like that one. So it's a really good opportunity if you're not already taking advantage of that. Paid ads were strong for both groups through social media, and some interesting kind of smaller ones was TripAdvisor showed up for quite a few of the pro organizations that are really leveraging that platform to get people to come to their shows or to their tours or whatever it is. And the really interesting thing for me is that on the smaller side, there's a huge amount of random things that ended up in other. And if you go to that 117 promotion ideas list, you can find a lot of those ideas there. Basically, people that are not spending money on promoting events just get really scrappy and creative about how they're getting people to come to their events. Sometimes it's literally just messaging people that they think might be interested and saying, hey, I think that you would like this event. It's not super spammy as long as the event is something that people are actually interested in. Then if we look at the promotion channels by return on investment. And we both split that out by pro organizations and smaller organizations as well. Smaller organizations rely heavily on organic social media because it's free. So obviously the return on investment is huge. If you're leveraging partners and tagging them and tagging your sponsors, you can get a lot more reach because everyone knows organic reach on social media is garbage. But if you collaborate with other people and get their audience to start sharing it as well, that's a real good opportunity to take advantage of organic social media. Again, that group is still using paid social media, probably a lot less, putting $5, $10, $20 towards an event, but they're using other things like a couple people listed Vesta there, which is really like online listings, using Google Ads, email is really strong, and email could probably be stronger. On the pro side, social media paid ads, so using Facebook ads and Instagram ads is really strong for them. They're spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per event. Advertising on Facebook. I'm sure you've all seen those ads. I've bought tickets from ads from local venues that are advertising to me on Facebook because the targeting is really good. Email is still super strong. The cost of an email list, if you have 20,000 people on your email list, is pretty high, but those people are very, very likely to buy tickets, especially if you do a good job of segmenting your list by people that are in town and that sort of thing. Organic social media, kind of the same thing. Using news, bigger organizations are much more likely to get into to news publications. I think smaller organizations could leverage that more by learning how to tell their story and make it newsworthy. Usually bigger organizations, like a performing arts center, usually there's someone that's their job to be a PR person. Now, here's where things get really interesting in this report is which promotion methods do people plan on using less? And then we have one that is which promotion methods people plan on using more in 2023. So the ones that people are planning to use less of, the big ones, kind of obvious, is traditional marketing and print advertising. So print flyers, but also print mailers that go out directly to people. Those were pretty big ones. Text marketing, a lot of the follow-up that we did to that actually helped us learn that the people that are saying they're going to do less text marketing, basically haven't figured out how to use it yet. And that's not to say that I have all the answers on that, but I think that they're afraid to message those people because they feel like it's spammy. And they're getting people that are unsubscribing from their lists. That's just kind of the state of how texting works. And it is a little tricky for an organization that has maybe five events a week to figure out how to manage texting, because maybe once or twice a month is a good cadence when texting people that have signed up and opted in. And also maybe into this list are people that have bought text lists and tried to text those people. That's a terrible idea. Don't do that. Allow people to opt in and say, hey, please text me with updates on these events. Maybe do it weekly. There's basically just better opportunities to do that better. The rest of the responses were kind of a range of all different things, but there's definitely a continual trend towards digital marketing as people spend more and more time glued to their phone. And then what promotion methods do you plan to do more of in 2023? Social media, obviously. Everyone wants to do more social media and figure out how to do more social media. There's always new channels emerging to market on. I've had a lot of success marketing events on LinkedIn. People don't realize that you can do that. People are obviously learning how to use TikTok and finding a lot of success there. But Instagram and Facebook are launching new features all the time. And there's new apps and new social media channels cropping up all the time. So there's lots of opportunity in the social media space. Local influencers and partnerships with other organizations, which I kind of think are very similar, are two things that people, a lot of promoters, are expecting to do more of next year. So figuring out how to manage those relationships with local influencers, people that are either musicians or maybe the performers themselves, but also people that have a large following in your local area, people that host a podcast or just have a big Instagram page that talks about your city. Those are opportunities. And then partnerships with other organizations. So finding organizations that are complementary to yours and having them promote stuff alongside of you. Maybe you do some kind of kickback, you allow them to sponsor or just get their name on those promotions are big opportunities for reaching new audiences. Because social media allows you to reach a lot of the same audience unless you're paying for it. Even if you're not paying for it, you still can't even reach your whole audience. But a lot of times, a lot of social media is only reaching people that you already are, people that are already following you. Same thing with email marketing, where things like local influencers, online listings, online paid advertising, partnerships, these are all ways to reach new audiences. Online listings is a pretty big one as an area of opportunity, just because as the data and the targeting gets a little bit worse on social media, getting on those organic listings on your local newspaper or the radio station or the community calendar that show up when you type in events in whatever city you're in is a big opportunity to get in front of people that are actively looking for things to do. But an interesting finding is that for the biggest and most successful organizers that we surveyed and looked at for this report, they don't plan on doing less of anything. They plan on doing more of a lot of things and trying out a bunch of new things, but they're basically doing great and they can't afford to let go of the channels that they're doing. And out of all of those channels we listed, they're getting some results out of all of them. So they have more budget to spend, maybe taking a little bit of budget away here and there and putting it in other places and trying and being experimental. But the interesting thing is that they're not saying any of these platforms are things that they really don't believe in 2023. They're just excited about new social media and figuring out ways to leverage influencers is a big thing that a lot of them are looking at for the upcoming year. So you might have heard me mention a couple times EventVesta. That's our company. We did this report. This report really was to learn as much as we could about this industry, use some of the data that we already had collected. If you're interested in checking it out, you can go to info.eventvesta.com. If you're a business, if you're interested in finding events through EventVesta, you can go to eventvesta.com. We also, on the info.eventvesta.com site, have a lot of other articles where we look at data on Halloween-themed events and Thanksgiving-type events. Some of the cities we have like best music venues. If your music venue is not on there, hit us up. We'll see about getting you added, and all kinds of other resources that are free to use for event promoters. Just trying to give as much as we can to this community that is bringing people together through events.